Oh, that's right. We're right here this afternoon, Sharp Facets Gallery. Meet me at the diner, an extra special special show for you this afternoon. We have Kay Dowling here, who is now a public affairs officer, I believe. Are you Lieutenant Colonel?
Yes, I am.
Yes, Lieutenant Colonel with the Civil Air Patrol, and I have Carol Johns, who has been promoted to Lieutenant Colonel also.
That's correct.
That's correct. And, of course, you're working with the Legislative Division of the Civil Air Patrol. But the Civil Air Patrol is really an interesting organization, and I think sometimes we don't really know all the things that it does and how it started, and it really has a long history of being part of all the other arms of the service. So, Carol, why don't you tell us a little bit about how it started?
Surely. The Civil Air Patrol started, in fact, a week before Pearl Harbor in 1941. And it was founded by some concerned individuals, some patriotic people that were fed up with German U-boats sinking our ships off the East Coast. And they decided to strap bombs onto their own private aircraft.
And that's a pretty scary thing, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. And they actually sunk two submarines. 26 people paid the supreme sacrifice and lost their lives doing that. But as soon as Pearl Harbor had happened and the it was the Army Air Corps in those days. It wasn't the Air Force. They got involved then, as did the Navy, with sinking submarines. And they said, look, I would like you guys to do something else.
Can you strap some more bombs on the bottom of your planes?
Well, they suggested that we specialized in finding down pilots, search and rescue. And that's how we started off in 1941.
Yeah. And then through history, through time, they have been involved in different aspects, correct?
Yes, it was mainly search and rescue to start off with. But more recently, especially since 9/11, they've been more involved with Homeland Security looking after post-hurricane damaged and aerial photography, search and rescue. And in fact, when the Gulf oil spill happened, the Civil Air Patrol came and flew 2,300 hours taking photographs, saving tens of millions of dollars, because all the members are volunteers, of course. And people came from all over the country to volunteer for that. And we have about 550 aircraft spread all over the country in the 50 states.
Wow. Yeah. Pretty interesting. Now, of course, we need to give a little background on you. Where are you from originally?
I was born in the Rhondda Valley in South Wales, and when people ask me, where's Wales? It's on the left-hand side of England. And it's where the Tudor dynasty started from. So if people have heard of the Henry VIII. Well, his dad came from that part of the world.
Oh, okay.
So so
you're descended from royalty?
Not at all. Not at all. Shared a cabin with royalty, but never. I'm not from that side of the track. I'm just trying to think, not to bore people. I left school having graduated high school, and joined the Navy. I became a surveyor first, mm-hmm. as a variety of reasons, and then I joined the Navy to fly. And so I was in.
Wait a minute. The Navy is in the water now, Carol. Come on.
Yes, but aircraft carriers float, you know.
Yeah, they do.
I was conflicted.
Conflicted?
I wanted to fly, but I wanted to travel. And I knew that in the Royal Air Force, you went to an air base and stayed there for 2 years. And I thought, I don't like that. And then I didn't want to just join the Navy and not be able to fly. So I thought, fleet air arm. Why not? So I did that for, 15 years altogether.
15 years. Then how did you end up in the United States?
I was working in London, and I met an American, mm-hmm. and we got married, and that was 22 years ago this month.
Wow.
So, she decided to move back here, mm-hmm. and I decided that I should come.
That's a good thing.
And that was in 2004, so I've been here, it'll be 10 years next year.
And have you become a U.S. citizen?
Yes, recently.
Because I think when you were on here the last time, you had either just gotten your citizenship or you were getting it, one of the two.
You were studying for
I was getting it, I think. I became a citizen last year, January.
Okay.
And I was honored. I went in uniform, and they had me up on the stage taking the Pledge of Allegiance because apparently I was the only one that knew it.
Where did you become a citizen at? In Charlotte?
Charlotte. That's where I was living at the time. But sure. I've now moved to South Carolina, mm-hmm. and I've got a small horse farm just north of Camden.
Well, that's nice.
And, just working on it all day and every day, it's good fun.
What does it mean to you to become a U.S. citizen?
Well, how can I liken it? I think... you can't put it into words, but when I watched the television yesterday and our veterans going to visit the World War II Memorial,
yes,
I cried.
For them to be able to go through the barricades go to their monument.
And I just guess that's all you can say about it. When you choke up, when you think of your country, that's why you become a citizen.
Yeah.
People who are born here sometimes don't appreciate what they have.
We take it for granted.
Absolutely.
And when you haven't lived any other way, you don't know how great it is.
That's right. I mean, no place is perfect.
Right.
I mean, even I own up to that.
And that's pretty hard.
No person is perfect, okay? You're
going
to go there, Carol? Okay.
That's right.
I understand your sweetie's listening today. Okay, you heard it right here on the radio.
But yes, I have a great affection for the country, and as soon as I got here, I was one of these older people coming to the country, so I found that jobs weren't easy to come by. My CV was so long, it frightened a lot of people, I guess, and I decided to be a volunteer, so I joined the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department as a volunteer crime scene investigator, and the Air Force Auxiliary, Civil Air Patrol. And basically put in, 40 hours a week for something to do.
Sure.
And
and you've turned it into something.
Well, I'm also involved with the United States Army as well. We fly gunships out of Columbia, so
That's
keep busy with helicopters still.
That's pretty neat. And, I was looking over your file, and one of the things that I noticed from the last time, now you and Carol have all, you and Kay have been on the show before, but you were working on a project to restore an old aircraft.
That's correct.
Has that been finished? Or
It's almost finished.
Not out of date here.
Oh, absolutely not. When we spoke last, it was in pieces, and we just found the names of four ladies in the wing. They'd written their names in the wing, and they'd been part of the builders and in Akron, Ohio, in the Goodyear Tire Company. Because during the war, the people making these aircraft couldn't keep pace, so they subcontracted it to other companies that had the tooling to do it.
Sure.
And so I decided to get these ladies together, or their families, and reunite them with the wing. And we did.
We
actually took the wing up to Charleston, West Virginia, where these ladies mostly were from. And they made a little documentary about it, and that was shown on, I can't remember which channel, but it was shown. And the aircraft now has its wings on, the tail, the engine's in, the propeller's on, we're just waiting for some little bits and pieces, and it should fly. And it was found on a scrap heap. And the work these ladies did was so good. Internally, it was the paintwork was just like it was done yesterday. It was great.
This is a fabulous story, and I understand your mother. She was a Rosie the Riveter.
She was. She actually worked in an armaments factory in London.
In London.
And whilst they were dropping bombs around her, she was fusing them. You talk about a brave lady.
Talk about having nerves of steel.
Well, and she flew over twice to help with this Rosie the Riveter project, which I'm also involved with. In fact, trying to get a plaque put up in the World War II memorial just to say, look, these ladies allowed these guys to
Absolutely.
Go. And at the end of the war, they were the founders of the women's movement, because all of a sudden they'd been taken from their kitchens and they came out as qualified plumbers and electricians and so on. And they said at the end of the war, well, I've got my pink slip, but I, you know, my,
you what know, am I going back to the kitchen?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that was the start of something. And in fact, the ladies in their 90s now are still going around and lecturing at schools and so on. And
that is so fabulous.
And they can't wait to see the aircraft flying. I mean, they don't think that the modern aircraft makers are as good as them. And they criticize the riveting of the new chap that's building it. They say, wouldn't have passed in our day, you know.
Well, a lot of things wouldn't have passed that are passing today, Carol.
Well, they worked very hard because they... I asked, why do you think your product was so good? They said, because our fathers, our boyfriends, and our brothers were there, and we wanted them home.
We wanted them safe.
And we wanted them safe, so we just did the best we could. But apart from aircraft, they also drove trains and built ships and worked on the land and so on. They were just wonderful people. So I think that we should have just a memorial to them somewhere and put them on the honor flights with the guys that they're allowed to fight with the best materials possible.
Absolutely. I think it wasn't long after I interviewed you, I went on an honor flight.
Oh,
what a fabulous experience that was. World War II vets had great stories and just had a fabulous time. And we just had here in Greenwood had a Hall of Heroes memorial. They inducted 22 Hall of Heroes from World War II through the Korean War and all the way up to, I think, the Afghan War,
mm-hmm.
22 veterans. So, yeah. You know, the thing about veterans, you never know what they did until somebody honors them because they don't talk about it.
If they, someone said to me when I was in the Navy, if you talk about an event, you probably weren't there.
That's probably true. I am here with our two Civil Air Patrol. I'm here with Lieutenant Major, I guess, Carol Johns, and with Kay Dowling. And we are going to hear a word from our sponsors. When we come back, we got a lot to talk about. Hope you're going to enjoy the show. If you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
All right. Well, we are back here just having a fascinating conversation this afternoon with Lieutenant Colonel Carol Johns. And he spells his name C-E-R-Y-L. So if you hear me hesitate, I just don't think it should be Carol that way, but that's how it's pronounced. So by George, I'm going to do it here today. But Lieutenant Colonel Carol Johns and, of course, Lieutenant Colonel Kay Dowling, too, is here with us. And so since you have, so what is the status now? We were just talking about the Rosie the Riveter plane. What is the status? It's almost going to be finished. Do you think it's going to fly?
Oh, yes.
Yes?
Yes, this year, I hope.
Yeah.
I mean, like everything else that's old, spare parts are hard to come by.
Yeah.
And I know they've got stuff on order, which has to be delivered from Texas. But once they can bolt that on, it's ready for its first run-up.
And how many of the ladies, are all four of the ladies still living, or?
Do you know, they're all passed, but I've managed to get to the families,
mm-hmm.
and the one of them, the daughter came and visited, and she had only just passed the year
mm-hmm.
before I discovered that it was so sad, you know, I mean, that was the last one, you
right.
know. And because these ladies were all in their 80s or 90s, and sure. So it was.
We're losing World War II. Oh, that's sure. At a very fast rate. So.
Well, that's true, but the figures are that the ladies are hanging on longer than the men, so we've got a few more rosies than we do as soldiers at the moment.
That's terrific. Yeah. I'm sure they would have been so pleased to see their plane fly again.
Well, the next project is to put an alcove in every aviation museum, Rosie the Riveter alcove, to show what they did. Because most of the aircraft flying today from Second World War, when 99% were built by females.
Isn't that tremendous?
Well,
people don't know it. Yes.
People don't know.
I know.
Women built that. Women built that. And if you see a ship or a submarine or anything like that that's in a museum, they had a big hand in that too.
It is phenomenal, and you know we aren't patted on the back enough, are we, Kay, about stuff like that?
No.
Well, that's right. I think that the women of this country have a lot to be proud of, and they just took a back seat and just didn't say anything about it. Very much like we said earlier.
Right.
If you were talk about a battle, you weren't there.
Right. Well, you know, and when you think about how active women have become in the military itself,
mm-hmm.
and yet when you look back on World War II, the women that were involved in it, even though they weren't on the battle lines, they were doing valuable, valuable work.
Absolutely. I mean, none of our soldiers and sailors and airmen could have done anything without them. And had they not turned their hand to doing what they were asked to do, and that meant uprooting from little valley towns in West Virginia and going all the way over to, you know, L.A. and San Francisco. They'd never been outside of their state. And they did all that. If they hadn't done it, men who were needed on the fighting front would have had to have done it.
Have been building the planes.
Yeah, would have had to have done it.
And
yeah.
We would have had less there. You know, one of the ladies that I met on the honor flight, she actually was sitting at a movie with her friend, the picture show, I think she said, the picture show. Mm. And at the end of the movie, they said, "We need you. You know, Uncle Sam needs you."
Sure.
And they went down and signed up, and this was World War II. She ended up being a decoder, message decoder, out off the coast of Washington or Oregon.
Uh-huh.
She was on an
uh-huh.
island out there,
yep.
decoding messages, a whole group of them. But, you know, she was living in Texas at the time. I think she was originally maybe from South Carolina, but pretty interesting stuff when you go back and dig into it.
And they will not volunteer the information. Right. You have to wheedle it out.
Yeah.
You have to ask. They won't tell you otherwise.
Yeah.
And I know with my mother, she's written her life story, and it's just amazing. And I said, "Did you do that? Did you do that?" Wow. <You know? laughs>
And yet she was just an everyday person to you for many, many years.
Ordinary people do extraordinary things, and that's what you learn from that. And they were not brave, you know. They don't consider themselves what we call brave. They were courageous, which means they were afraid but still did it.
That's right.
And when the bombs are raining down, you hide for the shelters. But after about a year, she said, "We didn't bother. We said, if we're going to get killed, we might as well be having a good time when we're doing it."
Oh, she sounds like a delightful person, a woman after my own heart here. Well, we are just reminiscing a little bit, but of course that all comes back to the Civil Air Patrol and how important it has become in our country, mm-hmm. and how important it is even today, and maybe more so. I don't know. What do you think, Carol?
Well, our roles have broadened, and I can't be too specific as what I can say about it, but you would be amazed at who we train or help train to be at the sharp end to protect the people of this country.
Wow.
And that's the senior members. Of course, everyone knows that we also run cadet squadrons and bring young people into maturity and, you know, and early adulthood with the programs that we have, which allow them to make the best of themselves. And we've been fortunate in this part of the world that, on average, a state sends two people to the military academies a year, and we've sent five
Wow.
From just this part of the world, Spartanburg, Anderson, and Greenville.
That's all in that area.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know what it is in the water, but we've got some good people around here.
Well, we definitely have passionate people. And right now it is time for South Carolina News. When we come back, we've got a project that Lieutenant Colonel Kay Dowling is working on. We're going to talk about that project. We're going to be talking also about the legislative part of this, which should be very interesting. So you keep it right here on WCRS. We'll be back after the news.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, having fascinating conversation this afternoon with Civil Air Patrol. We're talking to Lieutenant Colonel Carol Johns and Lieutenant Colonel, boy, this is a competition, isn't it? Kay Dowling right here. Kay lives right here in Greenwood. And, of course, we had to coordinate this with Carol to make sure that he could be here and talk here today. But let's talk a little bit with Kay here about you used to be, ran a group of the Civil Air Patrol for young people right here, the cadets.
I was a squadron commander for 5 years, and prior to that I was deputy commander for cadets for 4 years.
Okay.
Here. My husband John and I joined Civil Air Patrol in 1977, back in New Jersey where Civil Air Patrol started.
He's trying to pull a little rank here. Yes.
No, not he's my boss.
Pull a little rank on where Civil Air Patrol.
I just got to remember my roots.
Your roots, yeah.
But I am also a military brat. My dad was a retired Army colonel. And like you were saying before, if they talk about it, my dad never had his ribbons, and I wanted to know why, and I sent for them. I had to send to get my father's awards. He said, there are guys that aren't coming back. I don't need to wear those. So he's right there. But we're involved, as you said, with this project. We love this woman down in Florida. Her name is Lieutenant Colonel Mara White, and she's retired Air Force. Mm-hmm. And she's now Assistant Director Administrator for Geriatric and Extended Care Services for the VA in Baldwin Park. And this is our sixth, John, my husband John, who's with the Civil Air Patrol as well, this is our sixth veterans project or military project. We started out with Carol. Years ago, we did the backpacks for the soldiers, and we took to Walter Reed 107 backpacks.
Yeah, then we did the shoe boxes. That was quite a project.
Yeah, yeah, we sent over 250. We didn't use shoe boxes.
Right.
We used 20-gallon plastic bags.
Right. But, I mean, the concept, the idea of it.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
And we sent those to one of our officers, Major Steve Askew from Anderson Squadron. His daughter was on her fourth tour at Afghanistan as a physician's assistant. So we sent them to her, and she handed them out to her troops on the front lines, and that was one project we did. We also did the shoe boxes. We did cell phones for soldiers. Mm-hmm. We collected a lot of cell phones, and we took those over to Lieutenant Colonel Taylor at the high school.
Right.
And he had the project going. They turned them in and got calling cards for the soldiers and sent them overseas.
That's another good project, yeah.
We also did what they called So Much Comfort, again, for Lieutenant Colonel White, was her instigating this. We collected money and we purchased maybe 200 or more pairs of boxer shorts. And the shorts were sent to Spangallam Air Force Base. And there it was called So Much Comfort. And mm-hmm. the women at the base cut the sides out, and then they cut the front out, and they put Velcro in, and they took them to Lansdowne Air Force Base so the wounded could dress themselves easier.
Mm-hmm.
And then another program we got involved with was in Myrtle Beach, raising funds for what they called Sense for Soldiers. And what they did was they brought soldiers from Walter Reed and Bethesda down to Myrtle Beach for Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, that's great.
And took them. And then Colonel White, knowing us and what we did, and of course, you know, we really love her, so she said, hey, I have a project, can you help me out? And I said, sure, what do you want? So she said, and she pulled out this shirt, and I said, well, what do you want done with it? She said, you know, these veterans are wearing bibs. And she said, that I would like to see them in a shirt. So she said, could you do this? I said, how many do you need? She said, 100. I said, no problem. Well, I didn't
know. You always say that, Kay, don't you? You always say no problem. It was like the shoeboxes for the shoeboxes that we did. That project turned to be a real bugaboo. And I've got to say a few words about Kay Dowling being a tiger. I mean, she just wouldn't let go. She kept working at this project until we finally got it done. But, right. You know, you should get a lot of kudos for that, Kay, because at one point I know you became very frustrated because we couldn't just send them over on a plane. We had to pay for the shipping, and that was the big problem.
Yeah, that was, and I don't do this by myself. John is always, I mean, I don't do it by myself.
Sure, but you are the...
The same thing with the backpacks.
Sure.
We started them in the squadron. And the squadron fell apart. And if it wasn't for Major Colonel Johns, the squadron would never have come together. And he said, you either take the squadron or we're closing it down. And John said, look, we started this project. We're not going to let it go. And it was him drove 3 trips up to Walter Reed to set it up, 2 trips up to Reading, Pennsylvania, where we could buy the things at a better price, mm-hmm. and 2 trips to Commerce, Georgia,
sure.
to their outlets. And our house looked like the basement of a big warehouse. And he put them together for me and labeled them and everything. So if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be doing this.
Sure.
So,
right? But, you know, it takes that tenacious attitude, and it takes people that keep it together to get it done. And, you know, I think, Kay, John, you know, you just do a fabulous job when you take something on. So you've taken on a new project here.
Right. Now, what we've done was we've collected money and shirts. And Mara said, could you sew up the fronts, cut the back out, and I have a shirt here if you want to see it later, and then get a terry cloth towel and put that in, sew the back to the front so that it looks like the shirt, and then the vets can put their hands in it and put their head in it, and it looks like they're wearing a shirt rather than a bib.
Sure.
So when I took on the project, I thought we could get secondhand shirts.
Right.
She said, no, health requirements say that it has to be a new shirt. Well, the people have been in Greenwood have been terrific. And I have to say, the squadron in Anderson, South Carolina, mm-hmm. I got an email from their finance officer the other night, Kay, we're going to send you a $500 donation.
Wow.
I emailed them back and I said, you sure you didn't add an extra zero there by mistake?
Sure, it's not 50.
That's right. So there, Anderson was right there for us and helped us out. And tomorrow I go finish up the shopping. And any donations that come in now will go to buying gift cards for haircuts for the vets, not in the residents, but the ones that are homeless vets, and we will take those.
Where are these going to?
These particular ones we've had help. Miss Seal Davis from one of the churches and other people, Sandra Johnston from the VA, mm-hmm. all these people have come together, and other organizations have volunteered to sew them.
Sure, but what to
and what we're doing now is the ones that get sewn and completed before the 17th of October, we are taking down to Baldwin Park. The ones that are done in Florida.
Okay.
The ones that are done after that will go to Anderson, and the squadron up in Anderson are going to take them, or if they want me to take them to Richard Campbell Veterans Home.
Okay.
And I'm touching base with them, but since then. We met, coming back from vacation last week, a group of Rolling Thunder mm-hmm. from the New Jersey chapter.
Good group, yep.
Yep. And we told them what they were doing. They told us what we were doing. They said, well, we'll send you shirts. I said, better than sending me shirts, how about you do this in your state? So I got an email last night that they can't start it before January. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, they're going to send us a box of shirts down here. And then we were with someone up there who's on the Boy Scout Council in Monmouth County, mm-hmm. New Jersey, and they're going to present it as an Eagle Scout project for somebody. And there's a councilman here in Greenwood that I know who's also going to present it. If a scout needs an Eagle project, here's an Eagle project for you. So hopefully we would be able to get it, you know, going all over to all the veterans' homes, because, you know, they deserve, you know,
absolutely.
More than wearing a bib and, you know, our thanks and... You know, it's something that, you know, John and I wanted to do, and I can't do anything without getting permission. And Colonel Johns was right there. And he says, go for it, you know, whatever you want to do, go for it. And he's always been there to help, no matter what it is, he's been there to help us out.
Absolutely.
You know, John's been on behind me, go. And then Carol has been there, you know. CERYL has been there to always help us out.
Now, what do you exactly do as a public affairs officer?
Well, I try and disseminate information that Colonel Johns wants me to get out to different legislators in the squadron. For instance, right now, it's closed down. National headquarters activities are closed down. But
does that have anything to do with the government shutdown?
Yes, that's
okay.
What, and what they wanted from me, their public affairs department wanted a list of the current legislators in the state of South Carolina. So they've been very gracious and sent me one legislator, I think his name was Mason Thomas, sent me a book, and others have sent me lists. So I had to coordinate that with outgoing and present legislators and send that on to national headquarters.
Okay.
And then whatever we can get in, you know, this project that we're doing now, I'm going to try and get into the Volunteer magazine once the national headquarters opens up again. I mean, our cadet flights, our O flights are all grounded. The only thing that's flying now would be emergency rescue operations. So.
Absolutely. Kay, I think you're to be commended. You know, I think you came down here to retire, didn't you?
Yeah.
But you've been very, very busy, and you've done a fabulous, fabulous job. And, you are tireless, and so is John, at taking on whatever is asked of you. And I think that's terrific.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276.
That's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, having some great conversation, talking about some great projects. Now, Kate, real quick, if somebody wants to get involved by contributing money, contributing new shirts, I mean, how would somebody do that?
Well, they can contact, if it's okay with you, they can contact you here at the station.
Oh, they can?
That's what I said, if it's okay with you.
It's okay.
Delegation's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, I'll do whatever. And then, like I said, I don't know how much longer the shirts are going to be in progress, but the calling cards, not the calling cards, but the gift cards for haircuts, that will be in it. And I hope to get more, you know, get the more shirts done, because I would like to have as an equal amount for, you know, for everybody. Campbell and Baldwin Park. It was Baldwin Park's idea, Colonel White's idea, and we ran it up here since Anderson has been so good.
I think the thing about it, Carol, you wanted to mention about how much it means to be not looking like a baby.
Well, yes, it's a dignity thing, but I was just about to say that these two wonderful people are going to take all these all the way down to Florida on their own dime. You know, yes. I mean, these people just... are amazing, and
John and Kay
and Kay, absolutely, and they take in all the stray dogs if they could.
No more fish even.
Well, you know, I think we certainly can get involved in probably particularly in collecting for the haircuts, for the gift cards for haircuts. That would be something probably, because it sounds like you're in pretty good shape on
the shirts.
Is that right?
Shirt project is pretty much wounding up, yes.
Okay.
I had a cadet stop by this afternoon with a check, and what do you have, about 8 shirts or 10 shirts for us, and then tomorrow I'm going to go hopefully buy out the store for the rest of the shirts and get them as many made as we can and give them
to they really ones. Look nice, and the thing, I didn't actually understand it, but the terry cloth is actually underneath the shirt, so it doesn't even show.
Right, it's sewn to the front, and then the back that has been cut out is sewn on it as well, and it matches the front. It's the inside-outside type of deal.
Sure.
And, they'll have them, and probably, I guess, they'll be putting their labels on them and who they belong to once they get down there. They're so strict with their health code that, we're trying to do.
Absolutely. Well, I think we just ought to, this will be in the video, but you can't even tell, that this is a that there's a terry cloth underneath it. It just looks like a shirt. So for those of you that are interested, we'll be showing that in the video. So there you go. Nice work. And, you know, dignity is something that is so important. I was just telling off the air about how over there at Campbell, a lot of the veterans that are living there don't even have robes to be able to go to the bathroom or take a shower or something. So it's really, really an atrocity that our veterans are not better taken care of. And I certainly, you know, that I feel very passionate about our veterans.
Absolutely,
and doing things
yes.
for them. So we'll see if we can't come up with haircut money. That would be terrific. That makes you feel a whole lot better. I don't know about you, but when I get my hair done, I just feel like $1 million, whether I look like it or not.
Now you got me thinking about the bathrooms.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit now, though, Carol. What exactly are you doing now? You've changed up your job.
Yes. I'm the commander of the legislative squadron, and
it sounds like politics to me.
It is. It is. It is. Each state has a legislative squadron, and DC as well. Mm-hmm. So DC has, if you like, the
DC has their own legislative
squadron.
Civil Air Patrol. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. I must be like herding cats. But yes, the representatives and the senators are permitted in each state to join as honorary majors. And up until now, South Carolina has been, it's been more of a sort of an honorary thing. I decided that when I met some of the representatives and realized that some of them had been members of the CAP in the past. In fact, one had been a cadet captain only 9 years ago. So it tells you how young some of our representatives are.
Sure.
In a very locally to us. I won't say where. I don't want to embarrass anyone. But these guys. As you know, the they're only in session for about 5 or 6 months of the year.
Sure, so here in South Carolina.
Yeah. So for 5 or 6 months of the year, they've got other things that they could be doing. And I just guessed that they didn't know that they could actually get involved. And so what we're doing is we're building up underneath that squadron a inverted commas proper squadron, if you like, where I'll be teaching people aerial photography, air navigation, make them so they can get their wings and they can fly if they wish. Now, if any representative or senator wants to do that as well, mm-hmm. you know, we'll accommodate that. But at the moment, I'm in a recruiting mode. I'm going to be based out of Camden, which is where I live. Mm-hmm. And just so far, the people I've spoken to down there have been very positive. And the pitch, if you like, is always the same. I mean, how would you like to serve your country in uniform again? And of course, for us people that are of a certain age, we sometimes feel that we've been thrown on the scrap heap, and then to be given this opportunity to serve your country again, not at the front line, obviously, but I always liken it to a spear, where the sharp bit is where the regular Air Force is. And we're the shaft, if you like. We do all the stuff they don't want to do, but what you have to have to carry the sharp bit, you know. And
sure.
so that's the way I look at it. And we do so many things that save this country a lot of money. It's expected that on some things we do, we save anything from, for every dollar spent. Oh, bless you.
Excuse me.
For every dollar spent, we give a return of anything from $7 to $10.
That is tremendous.
So when we had the sequestration and they cut our funding by $5 million, they should have given us more because we could have given them $50 million of extra work.
Sure.
You know, but that's we're all volunteers. And our charging structure is so inexpensive that we're able to provide these services. And as I said, we did 2,300 hours of flying on the Gulf oil spill. at a fraction of the cost it would have cost had we had one of the other agencies do it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's what our government needs, isn't it? Needs to learn how to save some money.
Well, to me as a businessman, I'm not making a political comment.
Right,
but,
I understand.
But if you've got someone that's willing to work for nothing,
right?
I mean, why aren't you using them more?
Exactly.
All we want to do is fly aircraft. And so, we have the aircraft, so let us fly them.
Right, exactly. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. You know, we just look at things and we don't seem to look at it in the business-like manner that would be saving money, not only for our country, but also letting people serve our country.
What I've been impressed with in the United States since I've lived here is the propensity for people to volunteer. And volunteerism goes right back to the revolution, if you think about it. I mean, there was no standing army here in 1775.
Correct.
It was all volunteers. And because they didn't know how to march and dress properly, that's why they were snipers, and that's why they won. They hid behind trees and popped them off. And
yeah,
it was,
there you go.
That's right.
It was a success, and that's why our country was built.
But we don't seem to have learned anything since.
You're kind of right there. I didn't want to go there, but you're kind of right, Carol. Well, listen, I tell you what, it's always a delight to be able to sit down and talk to Lieutenant Colonel Carol Johns and to have Lieutenant Colonel Kay Dowlings with us. Boy, that's a mouthful. I'm only Ann Eller, WCRS. But hey, I tell you what, it's great, and it's great to see the projects. We will set up something for the haircuts. I think that is something that we can definitely do.
Appreciate it. And
start taking in donations here like we did when we were doing the shoeboxes.
And you also did the backpacks with us?
Absolutely, we did. So this is great, and this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Lieutenant Colonel Carol Johns, I certainly hope you have a happy marriage coming up in December. Is that right?
That's right.
And just getting in before the tax, before the end of the year for a tax credit,
there
right?
There you go.
There you go.
Really?
Really, it helps. You know, it's two now. Yeah, okay. All right, this is WCRS. We've had a great time here today. We'll be posting the video and, of course, the audio on our website, WCRS1450AM.net. Thanks so much for tuning in this afternoon. Thanks so much for y'all being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody.